Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show. Mello is here on a Friday, as always. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Thanks for hanging out with me, Mello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that makes work experience positive or negative is the people that you have around you. And I remember years ago, this was like 30 years ago, my wife had a job, and the people at work were, to use a more modern vernacular, we didn't use this at the time, but they were toxic.
Mm.
She came home from work, and she liked the actual work that she was doing. It was an enjoyable job, but the people that she worked with were just negative and just all the time. She'd come home from work and she'd tell me about some of the stuff they had said and some of the, and she's like, I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean? You're good at it. And she's, no, I can't go to work with these people anymore. I got to find another job. And she did. And she found another job in which it, the work environment was better, but not good. And then finally, her third job, she found a she found a work environment that was really good. She working with people she liked, and everybody was kind and happy most of the time, and so that makes a big difference. And the reason I bring that up is I'm glad that you're here with me.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You make the work experience positive here.
Nice. It does make a difference who you work with, because people can just drain your energy, and then by the time you get home, you have nothing left to give your family. It's just
soul suckers.
Yeah, they're called energy vampires.
Yeah, yeah. Soul sucker, by the way, was like the big evil person in the Beetlejuice movie.
Oh, soul sucker.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She literally would suck your soul out of you. But there are people like that that kind of make you feel that way. So anyway, thank you, Mello, for enhancing my day. I call you, I am happy to call you a good friend.
Yeah, you are a good friend. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Plus, you butter me up with a Dr. Pepper when you come in, too. That actually sweetens the deal even more.
It does, yeah. I know where my bread's buttered, for sure.
How is the realty business right now? I just did a story this week about rent and the fact that to rent, and I talked about this yesterday, but to rent a two-bedroom in St. George area, Washington County, is $1,200 average. To rent a three-bedroom is $1,500. If you wanted a four-bedroom house, no, wait, one bedroom. Sorry, my bad. One bedroom is
$1,200. Yes.
Two bedroom, $1,500. Three bedroom, $1,800. If you were, if, I don't know how many are out there, but it's a four bedroom apartment is over I think it was $2,500.
Yeah, $2,300 to $2,500, yeah.
Unbelievable numbers. So, but then, you know, then I compared, okay, well, but if you had to borrow, say, $350,000, then your payment is up more than that anyway. So, what's the answer, Mello? Are people buying houses? Can they?
I think that with the recent interest rate dropping, that there's going to be an influx of buyers into the market. People are still selling. I have several listings, and I've got two more coming, you know, in the next week or so that I'm getting ready to put on market. So people are still buying and selling, and it just, it depends. Like, it depends on how much money people have for their down payment, if they can make that payment. It, I think it, a lot of times it takes two family and two parent incomes.
It does.
Afford anything. Like, I've got my daughter looking for an apartment right now, and like, I'm like, for a studio one bedroom, you're looking at $1,200, $1,300.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to get a roommate. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You need a roommate. Mm-hmm. And if you only have one bedroom, you're like, oh, so we're going to share a bedroom too? Well, and a bathroom? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I know that just for, so my daughters have both been up at college, and the one's married now, so she, this isn't a factor for her, but my other daughter was sharing an apartment, and just for her, she was sharing it with three other girls. She was paying like $550, I think, a month. So whoever owns that apartment is breaking in $2,100, $2,200 a month from these girls.
Mm-hmm. They do.
That's up in Provo, and so, yeah, I mean, is the American dream still attainable? Yes, but it's going to take a lot of work. One of the things I was always curious about, Mello, we were able to get, I call it the housing carousel. What happens is if you can afford to get into a house, we call them starter homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
a few years later, you'll have some equity. You'll sell your home and you use whatever equity you made on the sale to get a little bit better house. And we're on our fifth house, and it's been incrementally better every single time, because even though our house now is smaller than our last house, it's, I think it's a better house, higher quality. But how do people get on that carousel? If you sell a house and you got 100,000 equity, that's a pretty good down payment for your next house. But until you actually own a house and have equity, how do you get there?
Yeah, there are some loan programs available for first-time home buyers, and also if you've been out of the housing market for a while, you'd be surprised, you may actually qualify for one of those programs where they'll give you like $20,000 for your down payment. So there's different programs out there. I say talk to a lender, and the lender can kind of show you the ins and outs on how to. And there's rural housing where you can get different types of loans for those too. Just like even Ivins, some parts of Ivins qualify for that.
Wow.
Yeah. So you just kind of have to talk to a lender and figure out where you want to live and where you can afford to live, really.
Yeah, it's tough. I know. I can't say this is 100% true, but I know a lot of young people are like, once they grow up, they got to move somewhere else because they can't afford to live here. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's complete 100%. I mean, two of my kids live in Taylorsville now. But you know what? They paid as much for their houses there as they would have for houses here. The motivation wasn't just, you know, that they could live a little cheaper up there. It was, well, my one daughter-in-law lives 5 minutes from her parents. And the other one, they actually wanted to move by his brothers so their kids would grow up together. And so, you know, I can't blame it just on the market that they left. But I sure would like to have him back. My oldest son, thankfully, has moved back in the area. Yes. I love having him around.
That's awesome. Another thing to think about, though, is with the lender, not the lenders, with the renters. Even though there's landlords and they seem like they're making a whole bunch of money, which a lot of them are, there's a lot of risk for the landlord. Like, I have a client coming up right now, and they rented out a home. And it was rented for 8 years, and these people destroyed it.
Yeah.
They breeded dogs in there. There was stains on the wall. Like, they used the countertop for a cutting board. I mean, there were a lot of things in that property that we've had to go in and get new carpet, new flooring, new paint.
Well, and if you think, hey, I paid a security deposit, guess what? That's not going to cover.
Yeah. And 8 years ago, it was $700.
Oh, wow.
So these people are out a bunch of money. So, yes, they do charge a lot, but there's a lot of risk letting somebody live in your home and not being able to, you know, micromanage them living there, which you don't want either.
And my son owns a condo in Santaquin, and he actually doesn't make any money on it. I think it's a wash. The rent and the house payment that he makes on it are the same. And so if any repairs come up, he's in trouble.
Yeah, out of pocket. Yeah. That's why it's great to have a home warranty. I'd recommend that as well.
Yeah, I need to get one of those. I don't have one of those.
I just used it last week.
In the last year, we've had dishwasher, water heater, some roof. We've had all kinds of things come up.
Yeah, my water heaters were leaking, and I got it fixed.
It's like, is it worth it? How much is a home warranty?
I pay about $68 a month
for
mine.
Yeah, say, is it worth $70 a month? Well, in my case, yeah, it would have been way worth it.
And then I just pay $85 for them to come out and fix it.
So I guess it's easy to see that we are making ends meet is not as easy as it used to be. This is a clip not from the movie, but from the actual debate, Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter in 1980. And everybody knows I'm a Reagan fan, but listen to him. This is Ronald Reagan again in the debate against Carter, kind of summing things up, I think.
Next Tuesday, all of you will go to the polls. Who stand there in the polling place and make a decision. I think when you make that decision, it might be well if you would ask yourself, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Is it easier for you to go and buy things in the stores than it was 4 years ago? Is there more or less unemployment in the country than there was 4 years ago? Is America as respected throughout the world as it was? Do you feel that our security is as safe, that we're as strong as we were 4 years ago? And if you answer all of those questions yes, why then I think your choice is very obvious as to who you'll vote for. If you don't agree, if you don't think that this course that we've been on for the last 4 years is what you would like to see us follow for the next four, then I could suggest another choice that you have.
Yeah, vote for someone else. That's a choice. Ronald Reagan, that was 1980. Of course, he did win the election against Jimmy Carter. And a few years later, he won the election again. And I think in the 84 election, he won, I think it was 49 out of 50 states.
Really?
Only Minnesota and didn't vote for Reagan. But I saw the Reagan movie this week. First of all, they in the movie, they actually do part of that. And, of course, it's Dennis Quaid. A couple of things I learned. First of all, Dennis Quaid is 70 years old. When Ronald Reagan was president, he was 69. Quaid was actually older than Reagan.
Wow.
That blew me away. I'm like, well, they had to really do him up to make him look that old. No, they didn't. Actually, he is that old. So Dennis Quaid did a really good job. He does not look exactly like Ronald Reagan. And so you have to do a little bit of the imagination jump of, you know, those of us that knew of Ronald Reagan. Okay, he doesn't look exactly like him. But he did such a good job of copying the mannerisms and the speech. Well, he sounded just like him. And then they got, I forget her name now, but the lady that played Nancy Reagan did a fantastic job of looking like Nancy. And the movie was a good inspiration. And to me, it makes it so abundantly clear who needs to be elected in November. Now, I'm not the guy that's going to make it. I have one vote, and you have one vote, and our listeners, they get one. And in Utah, Trump's going to win anyway. But we have Donald Trump, who wants America to be great, who wants to do his part, who doesn't take a salary, who has had two people try to kill him with scoped rifles, and still is running. I think I'd have been like, you know what? People want to kill me. I'm out. You guys do it. I'm done. No. Fight, 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 he says. And then you have Kamala Harris, who cares about herself, cares about her party, cares about communism, cares about... So to me, the choice is really easy. And I have a hard time understanding why... I don't know. I have a hard time understanding anything else.
I saw an interview with some Chinese Americans,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about how the reason they're voting for Trump is because they see all the signs for socialism and communism coming.
They know.
And so they will not want that to be in their future again, because that's why they left China.
Yeah, the history is filled with countries that tried to institute socialism and communism, and it has failed miserably. I had somebody say, well, yeah, but they got socialized medicine in Europe, in places like Switzerland and in Denmark and Finland, and that seems to be working. And I'm like, have you talked to anybody from those countries about it? Do you know that just to go to a simple doctor's appointment, it's months out? You can't get in. Mm-hmm. If you have an emergency, they said, don't even bother going to an emergency room unless you're dying, because they won't get you in. The wait is astronomical. They might pay for your health care, but you're not getting a whole lot of it.
Yeah. Do they even have braces in Britain?
I don't know. Orthodontist. I wonder.
I don't know. I don't even know if they have orthodontic care, because all the teeth I ever see are kind of crooked. I don't know.
Yeah. So last weekend was the home show over at the Dixie Center. I don't know how many of you got to go to that. I think it's kind of cool. I actually had a Friday night off. I rarely have a Friday night off. I'm usually doing a ball game, but circumstances were such that I didn't have to do a ball game Friday night. So I went over to the home show at the Dixie Center. Now earlier in the day, I'd gotten a call from the folks at Duke Crest Monument Company. They are an AG approved sponsor, and in exchange I really like what they do. They're really good. But as part of my payment, they design a headstone. They designed a headstone with my wife and I with our name on it. And so they had a booth at the home show, Duke Crest Monument Company. And so Will Duke Crest called me and he said, hey, I just wanted to ask your permission. He says, we have your headstone. It's all finished. Sent me a picture. He says, we would like to display that at the home show so people can see what we do. And it's really a nice looking headstone. It's made out of black and white granite. It has my wife and I's name on it. It has Griffin up at the top. And then right in the middle is a picture of the Jordan River Temple where we got married. On the back, it has the names of our children along with some kind of Southern Utah red cliffs back there. They're not red, but they're shaped like the cliffs we're looking out the window here. And a couple of little griffins on it, and, you know, the mythological creature, the griffin. But, you know, when he called and asked me, I'm like, sure, go ahead, whatever. And I didn't really think much about it. And then we went to the home show and I saw it. I'm like, that's a little bit sobering, Mello, to see mm-hmm. your name on a headstone.
Yeah, but that's such a nice gift to give to your children, really. Yeah. Having just gone through, like, a death in our family, too. Mm-hmm. With everything like that already done, it, like, took a lot of the emotion out of those decisions because it was already done. So it helps people that are grieving not have to grieve more with those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, those are tough, you know, and I've been through, I lost my mom a few years ago, and I've been through some of this where you're making decisions about someone who's passed away, and it's tough because mm-hmm. you're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the one hand, you want the very best for them. On the other hand, they're gone. And, you know, how much are you supposed to spend? You don't want to look cheap. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many things going into it. You know,
I definitely just want a pine box. I don't want a big, fancy casket.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Don't waste the money on it. Nope. Just
did you know, actually, if you're looking to go inexpensive, the cheapest caskets, coffins, are made out of metal.
Really?
Yeah, the metal ones are usually cheaper than the wooden ones. Because the wooden ones take a lot of artisanship, a lot of craftsmanship. And the metal ones, they just slap it together and, you know, put you in there.
That's so interesting. And then another thing I didn't know when we went through those funerals is you also have to have, like, a concrete box, too, right? To put the coffin in, too.
You do. Not all cemeteries require that, believe
it or not. Up north yeah, for my mom.
Most do, but not all. So yeah. I found that out.
That's another expense you didn't count on.
I found out a lot about funerals and stuff in the last few years.
I know, unfortunately.
So don't like it, yeah. So on 890kxu.com, if you want to read this story, it's about my headstone. I'm going to read a little bit of it right now. Let's see. I recently got to see Reagan, a movie about the president of my youth. Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980 and reelected in 84. I was 14 when he first took office and 22 when his second term expired. I have a tremendous respect for the man, and I thought the maker of the movie did a great job of capturing perhaps a central theme of his life. He wanted to make a difference. So as I gaze at this headstone, I ponder whether or not I've made a difference. I'd like to think I have through my radio show, through my personal everyday interactions, through my relationships with my loved ones and my coworkers. Making a difference to the scale of Ronald Reagan may not be possible for most of us, but hopefully by the time they carve that death date on that headstone, we will have influenced others' lives for the better. Mm-hmm. That's really all any of us can hope for, and you can write that in stone. Yeah, that was my story about the headstone. I did blur out the birth dates. I don't know why. You notice people when they put their car up for sale, they'll put their thumb in front of the license plate in the picture because they don't want people looking up. I don't know if that's all really necessary. In today's day and age, you can find out anything about anyone anymore.
Right. Just go to Facebook.
But I did blur my birth dates. So if you look at the picture, it's a nice picture of the headstone. But our birth dates are blurred up. Maybe so I can hide how old my wife is. She turned 29 the other day, I think.
I heard that.
Yeah. Which would make me, since we've been married for 36 years, I would say that's probably not accurate. But something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was very young when we got married. So. Let's see what we got. 827 right now on KDXU. There's another story I wrote yesterday on our website, 890kdxu.com, and I was going to hit the back button, but something about our website, it keeps refreshing. All right, here we go. I think I got it now. The story is entitled Crisis, Child Anxiety and Depression in Utah Schools. And to me, you know, this is an interesting topic because kids are more anxious. And never mind the reasons, right? We kind of know the reasons, right? Helicopter parents, maybe a little too much cell phone, social media activity, or maybe I would submit a lot of our kids have grown up in a luxury that we never had, right, Mello?
Restaurants every night for dinner, and
that
used to be a treat, like once a month.
Big screen TVs in every room, even their bedrooms sometimes, mm-hmm. and. I mean, you know, so anyway, never mind the reasons of it all, but the fact of the matter is kids are more anxious. Hopefully it's not leading to, you know, suicide, but certainly kids are more stressed out. And when we talked to Steve Dunham about cell phones in schools, the general consensus was, well, kids are going to be freaked out. They're going to have attachment anxiety when they have to leave their cell phone in their backpack, or they have to put it in a little baggie when they first go in the classroom. And what they found in the areas of the country that have banned cell phones, that's actually not true.
Mm-hmm.
It was at first, but then the kids started being, well, they started being kids again.
Nice.
The anxiety went away. They started listening more in class. They started engaging with their classmates mm-hmm. and their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a breath of fresh air. And so even though we had the show with Steve Dunham on and we talked about cell phones, the truth of the matter is that kids may not like to hear it at first, but not having a phone is actually a good thing, it seems, mm-hmm. at least during class time. So
yeah, I took my daughter's phone away for 3 months and I just barely gave it back, but I have it locked down, which I'd never done before. But she had had some issues with anxiety and depression.
How long did you take it away?
About 3 months.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's not going to mess with me again. I'm serious.
Don't mess with Mello. I'm telling you that right now. You want her as an ally, not an enemy.
No.
By the way, I got a text from somebody who said, I just found out they make caskets out of cardboard. I'm cheap, but not that cheap.
Then you could decompose with the cardboard. That'd be kind of nice.
Well, everything in there is recyclable after a few years.
Dust, ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
It's the Andy Griffin Show on KDX. We're going to get a weather break in here, and we've got more with Mello and hanging out on a Friday night. Maybe your phone call, 673-5890. When we come back, oh, I should give something away. Wait, let me reach over here. Mello, fill the time while I'm reaching.
Fill the time? I just turned off the mic. Okay, I'll fill the time.
I'm back. No, it's okay. I only need you to fill like 10 seconds.
I got it.
I have two free breakfast combos at Wendy's. So, and you can get the cinnamon pull aparts to go with your breakfast sandwich. The Baconator is pretty amazing. They have, I think, a hot honey dripper sandwich. It's
the Baconator
really
is what you want.
Yeah, I had that the other day.
I love that sandwich.
It's very evil.
It's like the bacon's always
7,000 grams of fat or
no,
something. And
no, yeah. If you eat it in the morning, it's energy. It doesn't count as calories.
Okay. Anyway, give us a call, 673-5890. Two free Wendy's breakfast combos.
Which caller?
To caller number 3, 673-5890. And now we will check weather.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. It's 9:35 on KDXU. Mello is here as well. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
Melody Finlinson is her name, and funny, I had someone ask me, is Mello the same person as Melody from the Rolling Stone commercial?
Mm.
I was like, yeah, that's yeah, Mello. That's,
I used
that's
to work
the same
there.
Person. Yeah, so, and they still play that commercial?
Well, you know? No, they have me do new ads for them. I still do their ads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know that I've heard that commercial fairly recently, so
mm-hmm.
I know they're still playing that occasionally. Cool story online. This is an intellectualtakeout.org called Why Bible Stories Are Essential for Cultural Literacy. And they refer back to a speech way back in 2008. I say way back. That feels like yesterday, but 2008 was 16 years ago, folks.
Oh, don't say so that. I'm not good at math, so it doesn't ever feel that long ago.
It was a long time ago. There are children, in fact, high school kids who were not born when in 2008, who don't know anything about Barack Obama or anyone before that, they have no concept. So
frustrating.
Welcome to old age. My kids call me old man all the time anyway, so I'm okay with that. Whatever.
You're only as old as you feel.
Yeah, I feel old sometimes.
And it's not the years; it's the miles.
I played pickleball for a couple hours last night.
Good job.
So I feel really old today. Things ache that aren't supposed to ache.
That's
fun. Thanks again to Beth and Milt and my sweetheart Shelley all played with me last night.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. Okay, so referred back to an Barack Obama speech in 2008. In the speech, he uses the story of David and Goliath. He uses the story of Moses and the Pharaoh. He uses the story of the Christians in the lion's den and the story of Ezekiel's field of dry bones to bring to life his message. And it's like, okay, wait, so here's a secular leader, president of the United States, And he's referring to Bible stories. And, you know, it's funny, 16 years ago, nobody got offended. You know, there weren't people picketing and going, you know, being all woke and say, you can't, you know, Ezekiel had slaves or, you know, none of that. it was just good old Bible stories. And I think one of the things that is really frustrating, Mello, to me is that we, as normal average Americans, and there is such a thing still, we have to be careful what we say because those people that get offended easily are loud.
They are.
They're loud. My wife fears for my life sometimes because she's like, oh, you say things on the radio that some crazy is going to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, but I'm still going to speak. I'm still going to speak the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
And I might get in trouble, and hopefully nobody wants to kill me. I'm a little scared for our country right now with two assassination attempts on a political candidate already.
Okay, so I have a question that you may know the answer to, and if you don't want to go here, you can tell me. Do you know what's going on in Springfield, Ohio?
Yes. Well, okay. Kind of, yes.
Because I saw a thing the other day, and there's a lady that lives there, and she's just driving around, like, showing just what's actually going on. And there's a pallet there with, like, bricks. Is that, like, is there some kind of, like, people picketing and something so they have a weapon to throw so they can, like, add more charges? Like, what, why would there be bricks?
Let me summarize what I know, yeah. And then if that answers your question at all, then good. If not, we might have to do more research, get our research team on.
Yeah.
So a week or so ago, there were allegations made that the Haitian, they have a large population of Haitian refugees in Springfield, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that in some ways they're kind of taking over some of the community. And someone hurled accusations saying that this one is true. A Haitian refugee, hungry, apparently went to a duck pond, wrung the neck of one of the ducks, and took it home and cooked it and ate it.
Oh.
In front of the children, he wrung the neck. That is a true story. The other story that is not true that is getting headlines out there is supposedly a Haitian refugee woman was trapping people's pets, in particular a cat. And then after skinning the cat, hung it out on the tree to dry so that she could then make jerky or something out of the cat meat.
But that's not true?
That's not a true story.
Because no. I did see...
It didn't happen.
I did see one of the neighbors, there was like a dog on a like a rotisserie stick. And it was being turned. And it was literally like their neighbor, like they were around the corner like...
No, it's not true.
It's not true.
No, it's not true.
Darn it.
No.
It's more fun to think it's true.
It's been tinkered with. And that's one of the problems with modern, social media and AI. You can make things. You can actually make videos that have fake stuff in them.
That's true. Nowadays. With them saying things that they didn't say.
Yeah.
With their voice.
So anyway, there has been in Springfield, Ohio, a backlash of people defending the Haitian refugees, saying, hey, wait a minute, these are nice people who were in a situation in Haiti where there was no food and there was political unrest, and they came to America because they were going to be killed or die of starvation otherwise. And so... there's actually, I think when you're referring to maybe some bricks and some protein, it's mostly people, there were two areas, people, anti-Haitian refugee demonstrators and people saying, hey, this is America. Let's take care of these people. They're actually pretty nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is unresolved at this point. And there are going to be more demonstrations. I hope people aren't dropping off pallets
right,
of bricks.
But there was a pallet of bricks like sitting there. And that just like sets people up to be able to have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems staged. I just didn't know. So thanks. I've been out of the loop because I have a new grandbaby that was just born. So I've been...
I will say this. If you see a pallet of bricks sitting somewhere, does that mean there's going to be a riot? Well, it could, but, you know, if you have a lot of construction in the area.
The pallet was opened and, like...
I know. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes things are not always as they appear.
That's true. So thanks for that update.
But I think that, you know, Springfield, Illinois got the spotlight because J.D. Vance mentioned what was happening there and... of course, all the liberals were like, nah, it's not true. How can you say that? And it turned into this big old thing. And, you know, when you're really hungry and there's ducks at a pond, I mean, I'm not defending this person's, you know, going and wringing the neck of a duck in front of children and stuff. But these are Haitians who hadn't had anything to eat for years and years and years and probably got to America and still don't really have access to a whole lot of money for food. And there's ducks in that pond. And ducks, I don't know if you've ever had duck, actually taste pretty good. A little salty, but it's pretty good. I'm not defending what he did. I'm just saying I could see where a Haitian, you know, in a foreign country could say, hey, I'm going to go catch me some food.
Right. It wasn't a pet.
It was not a pet, although kids were feeding it.
That's poor terrible.
Poor little ducky. Poor Aww. Little ducky. So, anyway, this is the Andy Griffin Show, 943 on KDXU. If you want to call, give us a call. 673-5890 is the phone number. That's 435 area code, 673-5890. Or you can text me at 435-467-5842. I would love to hear from you. I have... I'm going to enlist the help of some of you when we come back after this commercial break. I don't know how to word this. I don't want to paint myself into a corner, but I want to try to kick a bad habit that I have. And I'm looking for some ideas. And I might have to take some from Mello, which is not a bad thing, but I would like to hear other people's ideas on trying to kick this bad habit I have. And that's what we'll talk about when we come back, okay?
Sounds good. Yeah, I have a lot of bad habits.
I'll give you a sneak preview during the commercial break so you know what I'm talking about. KDXU News Time is 944.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Today I'm Andy Mello is here as well. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
So I'm going to tell a little story. Years ago, back when I was doing a lot of high school games, more than I do now, but I still do some now, but we would travel on the road when one of our local teams was, say, up north or whatever, and I had my convertible Mustang, and I had my 10, 11, 12-year-old son with me, AJ. And we would go on these road trips. And back then, you didn't have, you know, all the fancy doodads. But I had put a stereo in my Mustang that played. Remember those little SD cards, the little things that are like an inch square? I could put an SD card in and fit like 130 songs or something on this little card. And we would go on road trips. And our favorite act, this is a great memory from when AJ was younger and from when I was younger too. We would just sit there in that Mustang and sing at the top of our lungs Def Leppard and Bon Jovi and, you know, The Police and U2, whatever, you know, all the stuff from the 80s. Genesis, Phil Collins, you know, just anything except Culture Club. I hate those guys. But anyway, so we would sing and sing. But one of the things that would happen, I found out, was on the way to the game, before the broadcast. So say I was driving to, I don't know, let's say I was driving to Provo, right, for a game. Dixie at Provo, whatever. So the 3.5-4-hour drive there, we would sing at the top of our lungs. Well, I found out that by the time the game actually started and I was supposed to be on the air, and usually I was doing the game alone. AJ wasn't old enough to be on the air yet. My voice was almost gone because we sang so much on the way up. And so after this happened a few times, I gave AJ special permission. I said, son, here's the deal. On the way home, we can sing at the top of our lungs all we want. On the way there, you can sing at the top of your lungs all you want. But AJ, if I start singing on the way there, I want you to smack me. And he's like, Dad, I can't hit you. I said, no, just on the shoulder. Just reach over and whack me. And and he's like, I don't know if I can do that, Dad. But in his eyes, I could see, hey, I get to hit Dad and not get in trouble. This is cool, man. So anyway, first road trip we went on, 2-3 songs in, I'm doing really good. I'm not singing, I'm just listening, and, you know, everything's going well. And then I think the song Photograph by Def Leppard comes on. I love that song. One of my favorites all time. And I start singing, and he smacks me. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, yeah. And so I'm like, all right, I'll be quiet. And the rest of that song, I just kind of hummed to myself and didn't sing and stuff. And then a few minutes later, Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi comes on. And I'm like, whoa, living on, you know, I mean, I was into it, and he smacks me right on the, and I'm like, stop it. He says, you told me I could hit you if you started singing before the game. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Dang it. So I, you know, the rest of the song was like, just kind of humming. And anyway, another really good song comes on. I think it was a Boston. It was Amanda by Boston, which mm-hmm. is another great song. And I start singing, tomorrow so far away. And I'm singing along. He smacks me. I'm like, what? It's a ballad. I'm singing softly. He goes, you told me if you sing on the way to the games, I can smack you and you won't get mad at me. I'm like, you're right.
Right. So, following up.
Mm-hmm. So he was right. So that was how I was cured of singing to the radio on the way to games. Mm. Now I have another problem. I'm not losing my voice, but I have a very strong affinity for Dr. Pepper. Mm. In fact, if you told me I had to give up every other soda pop in the world, right now, but I got to keep Dr. Pepper, I'd be like, I'm in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can't give up Dr. Pepper. I love Dr. Pepper so much.
It's hard.
I grew up in Texas, the home of Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper is everywhere in Texas, and I just kind of feel like it's my connection to Texas is drinking Dr. Pepper. So I need some help, and I'm listing it from you and from anybody that wants to text in 467-5842. How can I quit? Now, I was telling you during the break, I used to drink something called G2, which is a kind of low-calorie Gatorade, and that was my drink of choice, Mello. I drank it for probably the first 2 years, maybe 2.5 years I did this job. I always had a purple G2 sitting right here. That was my drink. And then I got kidney stones. As it turns out, if you drink a sports drink casually, like I was doing, it's high in sodium, you're going to get kidneys. It's almost a guarantee you're going to get kidney stones. So I quit G2. That's when I kind of started drinking soda again. So if your suggestion for me to quit Dr. Pepper is to drink a sports drink, no, that's not happening because kidney stones suck. They're awful. Do you have other ideas for me?
I know you don't like water, but water... No. Water is.
I'm not a big water fan. I drink. One of the things I do is I do have to drink my glass full of water before I can start on the Dr. Pepper every morning. But for me, there's one big requirement with water. It has to be so cold, like almost frozen. I've got to have cold water. I hate room temperature or even slightly cool water.
What if you only have a soda with a meal? Because then you still get it, but it's only when you're eating a meal.
Okay.
Or maybe just, because I always have to quit Dr. Pepper, because I love Dr. Pepper, too.
You do, too?
I love Dr. Pepper.
I knew there was something I liked about it.
I know. I used to be a Pepsi girl, but then when I got pregnant with my last son, I had gestational diabetes, and I had no soda.
Oh, yeah. My wife had that with our last baby, too. Yeah. She had no sugar for, like, 7 months.
It was very challenging. Yeah. But then after the baby was born, I went back and tried Pepsi, which I've been drinking for decades, and it tasted too sweet. I couldn't drink it.
Really?
And that's when I switched to Dr. Pepper. So I've only been a Dr. Pepper fan for about 8 years.
Nice.
Yeah. But then I always like will quit it for a while and then I have to have it and then I'm back on the wagon again. So I've got to so what I'm doing now, I'm off of it for like, I guess like 10 days now.
Way to go.
Yeah. So I'm just only having water and I have a big, huge fizz cup. You have a swig cup and I just keep it full of water. And that's all I'm drinking. And I noticed, like, the other day I went out and I was running errands and I forgot my water. And that's when I wanted a drink, when I was thirsty.
Mm.
Because it's just so satisfying to have it. So bring your water.
So let's make it. I don't know that water is the answer for me. My wife has been trying to get me to drink just water for years now. That's all she drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the answer. But somebody suggested diet soda. And here's a couple of problems. Number one, in talking with health professionals, including Dr. Blodgett, who I have tremendous respect for, he said the problem with diet sodas is they make you hungry. He said, your body, when you digest, when you bring in all this sugar substitute, your body then begins to crave food because it thinks stuff is coming, but only stuff doesn't come. Or you make it come because you're so hungry. So problem number one with diet soda is that. Problem number two is I actually am allergic to several of those artificial sweeteners. I get hives on my fingers.
Really?
And, stevia and saccharin and what's the most common one nowadays? Sucralose.
Really?
Yeah, they make me break out. And so I don't think diet soda is the answer to either. My son puts some kind of drink additive in his water.
Yeah.
Is that stuff any good?
My daughter has that too, and I tried one. It was called IV something. I don't know.
Okay.
And I put it in the water. I usually don't like flavored water. I like just regular water with ice in it. And it was actually really good. And I liked it. So I wouldn't mind buying some more of those IV ones. I just don't know what it's called. But it starts with IV, so I could probably Google it.
I have an interesting situation in my life in that I exercise plenty. We go out and play pickleball. I used to, before my leg problems, I used to play basketball 3 or 4 times a week. I was just, so I don't have a problem in that area. A lot of people don't exercise, and that, you know, that's a problem. I don't have a problem in that area. I'm getting, lately, I've been getting enough sleep, too. My problem is my diet right now, and that's sugar. And I don't eat a lot, but what I do eat is usually pretty sugary, and accompanied with that brown liquid that I love so dearly.
Oh my gosh! So. Quitting soda has been very, very challenging for me. Like I have been trying. I joke around that I like to have new goals every week, and that's why I like quit it for a couple of days, and then I start my new goal on Monday of no more soda, because I just can't ever seem to quit it. But I really need to quit it because I know because of my gestational diabetes, I'm more prone to diabetes in the future. Mm. And I've just heard that when you drink too much soda, you're more likely to get diabetes.
You know, it's crazy. So when I was in the hospital with my sepsis, they tested me over and over they tested my blood sugar because they were sure with my neuropathy and my sepsis that he's got to be diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
They tested me for 4 or 5 days in a row. My blood sugar was exactly normal to any other human.
Really?
And they were shocked. They're like, he's got to be pre-diabetic. Well, I'm not. So for them to say, well, he's pre-diabetic, there was this little teeny secret side of me that said, I hope they do say I'm pre-diabetic because that might be the impetus I need to stop.
Right.
Because right now I'm like, yeah, I don't need to stop. I'm not dying.
Yet.
So, yet.
I know.
Although I do have my name on a headstone.
That's true. You've got one head on the headstone. You're close.
Oh, man. Well, folks, I appreciate you listening today. This is Friday tradition now, having Mello come in here. And believe me, I fought for getting her in here every day of the week with me, and we're still fighting that battle. And maybe someday you will be my full-time sidekick.
Sidekick. I'd love to be your sidekick. That'd
but,
be fun.
Until then, we'll take what we can get, right?
Exactly.
We'll take what we can get. Good luck. Good luck selling homes.
Yeah, thank you.
I think this interest rate bump, do you feel like people are going to start buying again?
I think some people will. I think it'll be enough to let some people get into the market. Yeah, I think it will. And I think it's going to keep coming down.
All right. Well, we're out of time, folks. Thanks for listening. Be back on Monday. Got some great guests, including Chris Connors on Monday. The Secret to Success with Chris Connors. We'll talk to you then.